Welcome back to the Room Packed Reza Chat podcast. I am your host, Dustin Ramsdell. This bi-weekly show features a variety of topics in residence life that higher professionals can find relevant. You know, anybody that works in or with campus housing, we're having conversations that are kind of helping to elevate the success of everybody that is helping to support students who live on campus. So our topic today is an interesting one, is sort of taking the perspectives, the best practices when it comes to residential education and residence life, and how does it sort of apply in sort of bringing that experience when students may study abroad or be in sort of international experiences and learning environments and everything. So something that when we were talking about doing this episode was very intriguing to me, because I think, you know, it may be something that can be overlooked perhaps when you're thinking about those sort of learning experiences for students. So we will get all into that. But quickly, if our guest wants to introduce themselves, kind of give the elevator pitch of their background and how they got to be where they are today, and then we'll get into the topic.
Hi, my name is Kendra Sherman. I currently am the assistant director at Seton Hall University for Housing and Residence Life, but I originally went to undergrad at Sacred Heart University, the other SHU, but I studied biology and chemistry, and I realized at the end of my junior year, I wanted to focus more on, you know, student experiences. I was working in res life. I was working in campus ministry. So I decided to pursue a master's of higher education at Boston College, where I also worked at the Center for Student Formation, providing, discernment programs and retreats for students. And then I went off to be an area coordinator at St. Anselm College, and eventually moved on to Seton Hall, where I became the assistant director.
Yeah, I guess that probably was a hard-fought battle, because I saw, like, your email is, like, shu.edu, and it's just like, you know, anybody with those acronyms, just like, duh, like, we wanted that one. So, yeah, because I guess that would, like, funny happenstance of, like, how many other people have worked at both SHUs? And I think there's, because there's, like, Seton Hall, and I think there's, like, Seton Hill or something. Like, there's, like, actually some other, yeah. I wonder if there's like a South Hampshire University or something, like other SHUs. But yeah, I mean, so I think from what I heard with your background there, like, you do have that sort of experience with, like, you know, creating these sort of meaningful learning experiences for students that are maybe happening, you know, outside the classroom, at the very least, even off campus, potentially, like, they're sort of getting out into the world. So I think that's sort of the connective tissue, the segue into sort of your experience, your perspective, your interest, your curiosity around, you know, residence life abroad, the idea of taking what traditionally would be in sort of the campus environment. How can we try to, you know, theoretically take that wherever we're taking these students? So kind of what's your background with this topic?
Sure. I think I initially became interested in undergrad. I had applied to be an RA in Luxembourg for the Sacred Heart program that they have. I didn't receive the position, but it kind of sparked my interest. And I eventually, when I got to Boston College, I got a certificate in international higher ed. So I was taking a lot of classes that kind of broadened my understanding of what student affairs looks like in other countries. They didn't specifically talk about residence life, but they talked about, you know, student activism, international students, international branch campuses. So that definitely piqued my interest and is honestly a big reason of why I would love to create my dissertation in my current PhD program, to be very much combining residence life and study abroad. When I had graduated from Boston College, I had interviewed and received a position as an international coordinator at Northeastern University's NUN program for Greece. I eventually chose to go a different route career-wise, but I thought that was a really unique opportunity to, you know, study abroad and be there for the students as, like, a residence life member, kind of creating that student support system while they're away from campus. So it's definitely a passion of mine to figure out how to create more, it's a passion of mine to kind of broaden that research and look at how institutions might be able to better support their students abroad.
Yeah, I'm spacing on the name of it, but there's the, like, the cruise ship that Semester at Sea is, like, I know they kind of are the clearest example in my mind of that sort of intentional integration of, like, you know, well, this boat essentially is our residence hall on the water, and those sort of things. So I think, and even just, like, knowing that, like, which it's like understandable because life, you know, is different for everybody and their different priorities, where it's like, you may not personally be someone who is like, oh yes, I'm just globetrotting all over the world doing this sort of thing. But it's like, you're taking more of the like kind of academic or policy sort of like perspective, which is also important because I think it does, you know, it's one of those high impact practices, like as many students as we can get to do a like study abroad experience and have that experience be really meaningful and sort of like, you know, facilitated and kind of curated, you know, is, you know, really important, I think, in like, but I think there's so many factors in terms of, you know, funding and just, you know, limited space or different things like that. So I think just coming at it from that other angle of like, how can we create structures or, you know, kind of just environments that are more conducive to more students being able to study and have more supportive environments. Cause I think as we have more, you know, adult learners and first generation students, like I think it's enough for them to even like start a program to then even be like, well, no, why don't you also like study abroad and do all this? Like, I think that needs to be packaged in a way that is, you know, just much more approachable, you know, to them. So like residence life is a part of it. Like you were going to have like, you know, this is the place that you're going to be living. There's like, you know, supportive staff members that are available and, you know, you're with your peers and those sort of things. Cause I think, I don't know if there's anything from your like kind of research or understanding of like what kind of the structure of this has been like in the past.
I think a lot of programs, whether they be like full semesters or short term, which would be like 1 to 8 weeks, are very much the faculty going over with the students. And they're sometimes the only staff member that's available for the students. And so the faculty are there both as the authoritative figure of like, you know, grading their work, you know, taking them to cultural activities, but they're also the person that needs to handle the 24/7 student safety aspect of the program. And a lot of the research that I'm doing is showing that the faculty, you know, have this burnout and anxiety and stress when planning these programs and facilitating them. And the research is, you know, leading towards they need more support, but a lot of that research is saying, oh, just hire more faculty or, you know, hire an outside program to help once they're abroad. But again, they don't have, like, a lot of the faculty don't have that training to be able to support the students because a lot of that, those situations happening on the home campus, you know, you have counseling services, residence life, public safety that handle those situations. And so these faculty are kind of alone when you're in these programs in a different country and don't necessarily, you know the steps of supporting students in these types of situations.
Well, and I think as it often is with these sort of things, like, because it's complicated, it's avoided, you know, that idea of like, how do we provide counseling to these like, you know, Americans and, you know, Poland or something, you know, like, it's just like, they like sort of think of that formula and they're like, I don't know, like, we're just gonna, you know, just hope for the best, I guess, you know, or like, yeah, put everything on the shoulders of this, like, you know, sponsoring faculty member who's like bringing all the students. But, and this is something like, it's not a silver bullet here by any means, but like, how do you maybe see, and this is me kind of just like, you know, random kind of follow-up question to this is like, how do you maybe see like digital tools playing any sort of a role here? Because I think that could even just be the accessibility of resources or people or anything like that. Because again, the idea where like historically it would just be like, well, you've got your one person, like let's just all kind of dogpile on them for whatever we need. But if it's like, if you maybe have a platform that you can go to find information or request information or reach out to somebody, you know, back home, do you see that maybe could be like a part of a solution in a situation like this?
I think maybe specifically towards like mental health or Title IX situations, being able to, you know, hop on a call with a counselor back at the home campus to help with those situations. But, you know, I then think of, do counselors have like the credentials and the licensing to be able to have those conversations with students who aren't even in like the same country as them? But I think, you know, setting up different platforms with the home institution, that would be helpful. I think it's just of like, do those staff members have the capacity to handle both the students living on that campus as well as the people that are traveling abroad?
Right. Well, because like from one like legal perspective, often it is like, well, that is like an extension of campus, that study abroad, you know, whatever, especially if the, if like the institution does have some sort of satellite presence, you know. But yeah, I think it's definitely like level setting expectations of what is possible, but like even just kind of having a more dynamic or kind of robust sort of like lifeline back to the institution could be helpful. And even for maybe like community building, things like that, like you can kind of leverage different tools. But I mean, at the core of it, just to put like a very fine point on this, because I think we've sort of, you know, touched on it sort of softly to this point, like why is this so important? Like what is, you know, the benefits of bringing like that res life experience to these kind of programs, like just to kind of put that fine point on it.
Sure. I think the research that I'm doing is showing that a lot of institutions are trying to branch away from study abroad programs just because of that financial aspect. And, you know, a lot of students aren't able to have that opportunity. So they're focusing on like internationalizing the curriculum or creating international branch campuses where the students don't necessarily need to leave their home to get that same, you know, intercultural competency or better understand like global perspectives. But you still have these study abroad programs that should be bolstered and better supported. So the students that do go on them still receive the same kind of the same like cultural outlook as other international aspects that are happening on the campus. You know, faculty are leading these study abroad programs and they're so burnt out and so stressed. Are the students really receiving the best, you know, teaching of the curriculum or enjoying the cultural activities that are planned for them? As well as like, are they receiving the support that they need, whether it be, you know, homesickness or they're feeling insecure or they don't fully understand the cultural norms of the place that they're going to? If they don't feel secure and supported and, you know, comfortable in that environment, are they going to get the best education while they're abroad? So I think these residence-like members, they can go and support the faculty. The faculty can, you know, solely focus on the curriculum and the activities. And then the res-life members can be that support system for the students, you know, making sure that they feel secure in that different environment. And so they can fully enjoy and immerse themselves into that study abroad program.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's obviously just the story of the kind of broadening of sort of specialized role, you know, in higher education is like, yeah, it's kind of like an antiquated thing where it's just like, oh yeah, the faculty live in the residence halls and are like looking after everybody. It's like, I think it's about time we kind of move, you know, away from that for these study abroad programs. Cause it's like, you know, for me, especially for, you know, more of the like traditionally aged college students, but like, you know, having sort of lightly structured sort of like outings and social things and, you know, learning experiences and whatever, versus like, if just obviously the limited capacity of like an individual faculty member, it's like you're just leaving the students to kind of just go like wander around Berlin on their own and try to like do whatever. And it's just like, they might have an amazing time. They might have a lot of fun. They might not like learn as much or the right things that we, you know, hope that they would. But, and yeah, I mean, it's just even that like that safety net, it's like you have specialized, trained, qualified people that are there meant to kind of focus on all those things like you mentioned, like homesickness or even, you know, just kind of, adjusting, you know, time zones, even like the stuff like that, that kind of like complicates things where it's just like, okay, I'm trying to reach back out to my home campus, but like the time zones are just throwing it all out of whack. Like we can't do it. So it's like, hey, I'm here. I'm like, I basically came with you. I have all the knowledge that you need, of like the support resources on campus. So it is something that, yeah, I mean, like if I think there's definitely like the school of thought of like how you're saying where schools might be pulling back, where it's like, yeah, let's do fewer, but way more kind of like intentional, organized trips where we can send other staff members along with the faculty and the students and everything, versus kind of just like a, you know, let's do as many trips as we can. And, you know, those sort of things where it's going to kind of diminish the quality, like you said, like where it's just like, okay, where they're going, they're there. We can kind of pat ourselves on the back, but they, you know, the students had a less than ideal experience. So I think that, yeah, that's definitely an interesting kind of thing. Cause I, my undergrad institution, University of Delaware, is like, they are celebrating 100 years of study abroad programs. So it's like where I think that's so embraced as part of the kind of like institutional culture and why sort of like I mean, like, I never got to go, but I know, again, just like sort of academically, again, that like it's such an important experience and that they really kind of fully embrace it and uplift it very prominently for students. But their sort of unique thing, and I think you had kind of mentioned this, of like sort of shorter term offerings, is that they have a winter term that I don't know how maybe really kind of started, but, you know, like similar to kind of like a quarter system or whatever, where basically like the whole month of January is a semester. You can take full courses, but also a lot of students will do that as a study abroad option. And it is like more cost effective. You're not away from home as much and those sort of things. So I think that's even like kind of getting to like my last sort of big substantial question, but like kind of like advice of how to get started with this is like almost trying to like reshape your perspective as, you know, this decision maker at the institution of like, okay, if we are going to do study abroad programs, we do want to do them in sort of a very intentional way that's bringing all the best practices from sort of the student experience residential education. Like, it may be that it's fewer trips and they could be for a shorter period of time, but like the experience is like of such a higher quality. So I don't know, from your perspective, if like stuff like that or anything else of like advice for how to get started or stuff to kind of look into.
Sure. I think institutions should start with evaluating the programs that they do have and maybe talk with students and faculty to see how they're feeling. Do the students feel supported? Do they feel like if they're in a crisis, do they have like the resources to be able to navigate that crisis? How are the faculty feeling? Do they feel burnt out? Do they even want to run the program again? My research showed that a lot of faculty who are the sole member, they go on a program and then they're like, ooh, never mind. I'm too stressed. There's too much anxiety. You can find someone else for the next year. And so first evaluating the programs that they have and then looking at their residence life. So, you know, I know at Seton Hall, like we have two hall directors for one building. So seeing if maybe like if one of those hall directors might be able to be away for a couple weeks to help support that program. As well as there are some institutions where the hall directors don't live and work for 12 months. They have the summer off. So can they then maybe be paid a little extra to support those programs? And then, you know, advice on moving forward with combining res life and study abroad. I think those res life members would probably need extra training because when you're on the home campus, you have a bunch of other campus partners that help you, such as, you know, the counseling center, public safety. So if they're alone abroad, you know, what steps do they need to take for certain situations? And making sure that they also understand like the cultural and social norms of the new society that they're in, making sure that they have, you know, a well-rounded knowledge so that they can support both the faculty and the students. And then just looking at, you know, other institutions, you know, like I said before, Northeastern has this program already implemented. So like looking at them, at their organization and, you know, what kind of training do the Res Life members have? How do they specifically support the students abroad? And then maybe implementing that to your institution. So just basically doing benchmarking.
Yeah. I mean, that would be, I think, even just a very kind of long term before you make any decisions is a lot of that evaluation of sort of measuring where you are comparing to other institutions where, I mean, yeah, like Northeastern is an incredible sort of example in a lot of different ways of this sort of experiential education model. And then what I think is just so refreshing about working in education is that, like, you know, people show and tell and talk shop and all that, where it's like, you know, we're kind of in the very sort of like waxing poetic, like we're all part of the same team of trying to create a society of educated people. So it's like while we do compete for the same students at times, like it's at least nice that folks will often make the time to be like, well, this is how I did it, do with this what you will, you know, with different things like this. But yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, there's kind of the disruption over the pandemic, I'm sure, for a lot of these sort of programs. So I think like it is a very unique opportunity where, you know, it's completely shuttered. And if you're sort of resurrecting it, how do we sort of rebuild it with a greater intentionality around the student experiences and everything? Because that was kind of my guess, like being kind of the layperson here, is that like these programs are probably like just very lightly structured other than just sort of the academic experiences and everything. And they might, you know, have different kind of outings and stuff, but it's like the majority of the time, it's like there's not really a kind of supportive ecosystem around them. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of great opportunities for sort of growth and improvement here. And I think that evaluation is a really smart first step. And sort of as like a fun wrap-up question, if you were to go on a study abroad trip at, you know, at this moment, because obviously you've had a lot of different experiences and different opportunities, if it's like, well, I wish I could have gone on that one trip to this one place because it's so great or whatever, where would you go?
Well, I had forgot to mention, I studied abroad in undergrad. So I lived in Dingle, Ireland for 2.5 months and worked at an aquarium. Best experience ever. That's probably why I'm so passionate about study abroad. But if I had to pick a new place, I'd probably say Rome. I feel like there's so much cultural and history and food that there's so much to experience. And I think there could be so much potential with, you know, faculty creating programs and activities there.
Yeah, because I think with these sort of questions, because I end up sort of like thinking through a lot of the like practical things where it's like, well, I mean, like it'd be like a long flight or whatever. It's like, if this was sort of just like a magic wand of like, okay, you're just sort of like there and you get to have this like, you know, experience. Because like I don't know if like I would ever be, because I'd want to go to like Australia, New Zealand, but it was like, it feels like such a chore, like it's just this like long haul to like get there. But if it was just like, you're like, oh no, we're taking care of everything, like you're going to have like people there and, you know, this whole sort of experience or whatever. So, yeah, and that's great. Cause yeah, I mean, I guess my worry was that like, in this universe, it's like, well, I never got to go. So now I'm like really trying to be an advocate for this experience for other people. It's like, I'm glad that you did get that experience, you know, at least once. Cause like for me, never having done it, I mean, there's a lot of other things in terms of the campus experience as like a first generation student where it's like, yeah, getting my master's and studying the space where it's like, oh my gosh, yeah, I wish I could have done that. You know, I didn't even know that that was like an option or something. Yeah, I guess that's very, yeah. An Ireland aquarium and everything that is, cause I guess you would probably like go back if you could, but yeah, it's like a new place you would go to, yeah, to Rome. That's cool. I think as we wrap up, I mean, certainly, this is a very unique and kind of complex topic. So certainly, we'll provide a way one way or another, I think, for folks if they want to, you know, follow up with you to keep the conversation going or other resources and stuff. But yeah, I just appreciate your time because I think this is a good one for sort of just like introducing sort of a little, you know, sort of germination of ideas and brainstorm, you know, kind of inspiration for folks of, you know, how they can bring something that I'm sure a lot of the listeners are very immersed in of residential curriculums and education and just sort of how they maybe could be an advocate or resource on their own campus to create these sort of experiences for students going abroad. So I appreciate you hanging out and sharing all that you did.
Definitely. Thank you. I enjoyed this because this is technically what I want my dissertation to be. So it was nice to think about it in a different context.